Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We can take your questions and comments tonight via our Twitter account at TJ Slideways, via email tj@tjslideways.com, also our Facebook fan page, tjslideways.com. Later in the program, we're going to have Jimmy McCune on to talk about his recent tear through the winged pavement sprint car world. Three straight victories, two different series, so we'll talk to him about that. And then we'll close the show with Taylor Ferns, who picked up her first career winged sprint car victory last weekend at the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association. We haven't had her on since her Spartan Speedway days, so that'll be fun to have them on. So Jimmy McCune, Taylor Ferns, later on the program. But we're going to kick the show off tonight with the newest driver for the Blazing Racing team. He just picked up the first feature victory for that combination of him and Blazing Racing Saturday at Jackson Speedway in Jackson, Minnesota. And Roger Crockett, it was very glad. I bet you were glad to get the monkey off your back, because the first 2 weeks in the car were just unbelievable things happening to you guys, and then you pick up the win on Saturday.
Yeah, it was definitely nice to get things turned around finally. The first night in the car, we had a great night. We came from 25th or 2nd or something to 3rd, and then 15th to 3rd at Grand Forks there, so that was really good. And then kind of ran mediocre at Knoxville the next night, just kind of getting some things straightened out. And then, we didn't get to race that Sunday there. And then, the first Sunday. We try to remember some of these things, but 34 race, we had a tire bounce out in front of us, nowhere to go, and thinking I'm just going to bump a tire and maybe lose a top wing from it hitting it, and end up tipping over in the deal. Just nothing you could do. And then we had a rain out weekend, and then this last weekend we had a tire blow out at I-80 and just wiped out the whole back of the car, so we didn't get to race. So it was really, really nice to first off get to run a whole entire main event and not have problems, and second off obviously to get the win there. And a track we hadn't seen that will be running some good important races coming up was a really good deal.
And you definitely weren't here at the deal, because Kaylee Garst, Skylar Prochaska, and Greg Baker, they all race there quite a bit and have a lot of bit of track knowledge. What do you compare Jackson to? Is there anything you could reference to what it was similar like?
Not really. I think size wise, the closest thing would be that I've raced on would be similar to the old Tulsa track that there was. It's still a little bit longer straightaways, but real sharp corners. I can't really think of anything else to be really comparable to, though, with how it races. One end's quite a bit different than the other, and it's a tricky little place, that's for sure.
How did you and the Blazing Racing team get together?
Me and Greg had talked a little bit in the past over the last year and a half or so, roughly, and not last year at Knoxville, the Nationals there, we both, run Parker engines, and so we stayed at the Holiday Inn Express across from the shop there, and just spent some time talking, both working on our cars and whatnot out at the same time, and just, kind of established a nice friendship relationship. And the opportunity came up later that year where they had I think Brooke Tatnell was in the car for that weekend, and something came up, and so they called me kind of last minute. We ran a weekend and ran, pretty decent. We got locked in one night there, and I think we finished 6th or something on the final night. So just kind of maintained a relationship with them since then, and everything just kind of fell into play finally for me to get the opportunity here for the summer.
Roger Crockett joining us on the hotline here, newest driver for the Blazing Racing team. And right now you're making quite a commute. I drive about 10 minutes to work. You fly for your weekend gig across the country. How long do you foresee doing that? And are you planning on maybe relocating at least for the summer to the Midwest?
Yeah, we've been going back and forth. That's why, you fly all the way out there for a rain out. That's really, really tough. But I actually am just about home now, and I think maybe one, maybe two at the absolute most. It looks like just one more week of doing back and forth, and then I'm going to stay back there for the most part all the way through Knoxville. I may come home 1 week there, but kind of get situated, and, in the next few weeks here we get really, really busy, run anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week every week there. So it'll be really, really nice to kind of get a system down, and I'm really looking forward to the whole situation. I've always wanted this opportunity, and I really, really thank the whole team to give it to me.
And you mentioned that you're going to be running 2 or 3 times a week. Are you going to travel back to the Northwest to do any shows at all, or are you going to be pretty much racing from the Midwest starting about next week on for the entire season?
Right now, the only thing we really talked about is our schedule through the Knoxville Nationals, and I believe maybe 1 week after. And I think we'll just kind of assess where we're at and see if everybody's on the same page and how our results are, and we'll go from there. But right now it's just, really focusing on 1 week at a time. We've got I think 3 weeks Outlaw shows pretty much what we're running, plus the Houston's on Sunday deals, which hopefully if I can get some weather and, get to run those shows and just kind of focus on that right now.
Jim in Jackson, Michigan wants to know via the email box, is the Kings Royal in the plans for Roger Crockett and Blazin' Racin'?
It is. I'm really, really looking forward to going there. I'm really excited to go there. I think it's a couple weeks into July there. So can't wait to see that place for the first time. And, I know they've got some good things for their car there. They've had some success there and run really well with some different drivers. So I'm looking forward to going there for sure.
And another fan wants to know, and it's pretty much the obvious question, you're driving the Buffalo Wild Wings car now. Do you have your favorite sauce picked out yet? And are there good perks to the deal?
You know, all their wing stuff's really, really good. It's hard to try and pick one. So, I don't know. I think anything you get there, you're sitting in pretty good shape.
All right, plug in the product. Roger Crockett joining us. You were kind of in a tough situation. You had a good ride. And you made the Knoxville Nationals A main, but you were kind of staring at this year. A lot of the funding had gone away. And before Blazin' Racin' stepped in, did you have anything lined up?
Very little. We raced a couple times, and I sold a couple things that we needed to sell to just kind of rotate stuff out. So we took a brand new car to Chico and the Bradway race there. Everything started off good, and unfortunately we had somebody get into us and got an incident there. And so really tore up our brand new car, and so we weren't going to race for a while. It's really, really hard not to do, to try and do something like the level I like to do it, to do things right without help. It's really hard. So we worked on a couple things maybe helping us out, but at the end of the day, just the timing of this whole situation could not have been better. So I'm very, very fortunate the way that worked out, and here we are now with a lot of races ahead of us.
You've had some success out west and even nationally to some degree, but how important do you think was your Knoxville Nationals run last year to your career? That kind of caught a lot of people off guard. I think the only thing that really caught me off guard about it was you'd only run a handful of 410 shows last year and put that car in the A main. It wasn't necessarily a surprise that you made it, but the fact that you just hadn't really run that much with the 410 was the biggest surprise to me. How important was that to your career, do you think?
It's really important. I mean, number one, anybody that races sprint cars, everybody knows the Knoxville Nationals. I mean, that's as big as it gets. So, just to go there and to say, man, I've made the Knoxville Nationals, that is a really, really tough thing to do. So, to get that A main out of the way and to be in that thing and run well at it, that was a really big deal. It's definitely up there and just kind of gives you a little bit of momentum and hopefully doing something really, really good there this year as well. And honestly, just, getting the experience to run the 50 laps of that main event and how it plays out. And I learned a lot last year. Results weren't that great in the main event. I spent half the race trying to save my tires, not knowing that just the way that race plays out and the way those tires were at that track, you don't really need to save a whole lot. So I definitely learned a lot from that. And like you said, I think we'd only run maybe 6 or 7, maybe 8 410 races up to that point. So I knew that I'm capable of doing it. Just, it's really hard to go not running a whole lot and make sure you got all your ducks in a row. But, having Al Parker in our corner really helped a lot, and having our motor situation handled and just everybody we've got on board with our team there and all the people that give me opportunities to race Knoxville and get laps there. It all builds up to being successful there.
Being that you run Parker Motors in your car and the Blazin' Racin' team does as well, did that help maybe shorten the transition a little bit because you knew how the motor throttled and stuff? Does that make much of a difference, or is it pretty much a sprint car, just jump in it, make sure the seat's right, and get ready to go?
It definitely helps. I mean, first off, Al's been in my corner and always been supportive of what direction I want to head with things, and I'm sure he definitely helped some progress in getting me in that car and whatnot as well. And then just knowing that you have power, knowing it's going to race good, knowing that that's not ever going to be an issue in the equation is so, so helpful. And lets me and Greg just work on getting our heads together and getting the car right and comfortable for me and focus on everything else that we need to be working on. It's hard to be able to make that transition be any smoother than it was.
And one other unique aspect of this program is you're going to have a teammate part-time. Have you ever been on a multiple car team before? And have you had a chance to work with Brian Clausen at all?
I haven't. We just, we were going to run Knoxville there a couple weeks ago there when it rained. And that was, really, really cool to have that and to get to discuss some things with him. And, he maybe give me a pointer on something. I'd give him a pointer on something with that big old wing on top. And we're looking forward to that relationship. He's a really laid-back, cool guy. And I think him and I are going to get along just just really good, honestly. And to go back to, you know, he's from California. The first laps he ever made in a go-kart were in my backyard when we had races on Wednesday night. So it's kind of cool, the kind of tender relationship that was there, and his dad raced against my dad. So it's just funny how things play out. You know, you just never know where you're going to end up. And to be where we're at on this teammate deal, looking in the future, it's really cool.
That is really a neat aspect. I didn't know he started out there. Roger Crockett joining us on the line. You mentioned you are looking forward to going to Eldora for the Kings Royal. When you look at your schedule, are there any other places you haven't been to yet that are kind of like bucket list racetracks for you, or places you've wanted to get to but haven't had a chance to yet?
I love going to any new racetrack, honestly, no matter where it's at. Basically, every track we go to, it looks like I've never been. So that's going to be a lot of fun. There's a couple places we've been. I've been to I-80. I've been to Houston once. But for the most part, it's going to be all new tracks. But that's definitely one of the things that I've been able to be very fortunate and be able to adapt pretty darn fast usually, and pick up on the things that we need to be doing. And having, you know, good motors, good cars, and good crew chief, all those things definitely help make my job a lot easier in that situation as well.
Now, you're getting ready for this big Midwest assault with this team and getting ready to do everything, but there's a big race coming up in the Northwest in a few weeks. You think on Dirt Cup weekend you're going to have just a little bit of a, just like, oh man, it feels so weird not to be here, or a little bit of a feeling like how strange it is not to be at the Dirt Cup in a few weeks?
It'll be odd, but the luck I've had at that place, maybe I need a year or two away from it. It's been one of those races that we've been knocking on the door winning probably 4, 5, 6 times, and just something always seems to happen odd to me at that event. We've run second and third at it and had a lot of good runs at it, but I'm really happy to be where we're headed in this deal, and just like I've said before, focusing on 1 week at a time. And you know, there's always gonna be another Dirt Cup. This chance of getting to do different things and all this stuff is something that you really got to take advantage of when it's presented in front of you.
One final question. Your family's heavily involved in racing in the Northwest, and I see it from afar, and it seems a little bit fragmented to me at times of what's going on out there. How would you describe the health of sprint car racing in the Northwest part of the country?
You know, it's tough because of so many different variables. You know, the ASCS situation, obviously this year changed a little bit with the national guys not coming out for whatever reason. It's not real clear to me on why. And, you know, funding and sponsors and all that stuff, not only for the race cars and the drivers, but for the race tracks as well, and keeping those things up and going. You know, a couple tracks have changed hands over the last few years. And it'd be nice just to kind of see everything settle out and get smooth and everybody work together and try and get car counts built back up and focus on that. And it sounds like things are starting to get headed in that direction. So I think they're going to start getting a little bit healthier, and we'll just see what happens with it. But honestly, hopefully I'm somewhere else.
Well, it's not bad up there, but there's a lot more racing had. And
yeah, not at all. We've made a lot of good partners out here and a lot of friends and, you know, a lot of good times, there's no doubt. But I'm just really hoping to get the opportunity to move on. And we're just like exactly what we're doing right now. I love it, and just really looking forward to it.
Well, Roger, you're going to be a great addition to the tour this summer, and everything going on out here. Look forward to seeing you at Eldora. Normally we don't cross paths till Knoxville, but we'll get to hang out at Eldora a little bit, and I get to see your first laps at the Big E, so that'll be exciting. So definitely look forward to you to doing this, and thanks for being on tonight, and wish you best of luck with Blazing Racing.
All right, thank you. Yeah, and thanks again, obviously, to Todd and Susan and Greg and Buster, just all the whole team have been really, you know, really welcoming me in, and just super, super excited. I can't stress that enough, how smooth everything's gone as far as that, and it's a whole situation's really good. Can't wait to run 4 or 5 nights a week. It's going to be great.
All right, Roger Crockett joining us on the line. You'll be able to see him coming through the Midwest soon. And race fans, don't forget to download our post-race podcast from the UNOH All-Star Circuit of Champions event at Butler Motor Speedway. Interviews with Danny Holtgraver, Chad Kemenaw, and more. You can go to tjslideways.com and get that. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Jimmy McCune will join us on the other side. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on September 27th is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history with $20,000 on the line for the winner. But you don't have to wait until September to get your Dirt Classic fix. Join the team at this weekend's qualifier race Sunday, June 8th at Bedford Speedway. Fans can see Western and Central Pennsylvania teams unite for a $5,000 paycheck at a guaranteed starting spot in September's event. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest, pretty much the hottest driver in all pavement sprint car racing. He has been cleaning up. It doesn't matter which tires, which series. He pretty much has been cleaning everybody out. Jimmy McCune joining us on the line. And, man, you have really started off the season well. Wins at Angola, wins at Auto City, and really on a roll.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We've had the luck falling our way pretty much all season. And the latter part of last year, after I got back in my own car, just once we got back in my car, everything just kind of started clicking, and we've been having a lot of fun and working hard.
Is there one particular part of your program you worked real hard during the off season to make that happen, shock program or anything, or did you just put everything back together just like it was at the end of the year and are just going this strong?
Well, at the end of the year when I switched rides, I hadn't touched that car in almost a year, maybe a year and a half at that point, and we just tossed it together to run Berlin, the last must-see race there. And threw it together and went out and run fourth right out of the box. So we were pretty happy because I hadn't run the car in so long, and it was just like, you know, putting on your old favorite shoes and going out and having a lot of fun. So we worked tremendously hard on the car during the week. We put in a lot of hours. I mean, we just got home from racing Saturday night, and I spent 8 hours out here by myself and my boy working out here and just pretty much got 99% of the maintenance done on the car yesterday and cleaned and ready for some TV news for tomorrow, so for the upcoming weekend.
Oh, that'll be great. Of course, your hometown race coming up, the fastest short track in the world, race in the world at Toledo Speedway. I try to tell people about that race. That thing is truly an event. There are races. There are lots of races, but that Toledo thing, they've hit something there, and that thing is truly an event.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most unique events that they have. I mean, when you run super modifieds and sprint cars, and that's the only thing there, it's usually a pretty darn exciting show.
And it used to be a big deal about the sprint cars and the super modifieds and out qualifying each other. And you have experience in both. You've driven both. So when you're qualifying a sprint car versus qualifying a super, what's the biggest difference?
Last year, qualifying, there really wasn't a whole lot of difference. I mean, racing wise, I really started trying to make that super modified as much as I could, like a sprint car. A lot of things that I was doing with my sprint car, I tried to adapt to the super modified because that's honestly what made me comfortable. Because when I first got a super modified, I really didn't like it at all. I didn't like the way it moved, the way it reacted, and just all the characteristics of it versus driving a sprint car most of my life or a midget. It just didn't do the same things, and I wasn't very comfortable. So, you know, for me, it was, you know, taking the super to a sprint car style, so I didn't have a whole lot of discrepancies from jumping in and out of one car to the other.
And when you, it seems like when you guys qualify in those high-banked racetracks, it's kind of a game of, it's just unbelievable to watch you guys. I mean, it almost looks cartoonish at times, the way those cars corner. Do you ever watch external video of like you or maybe some of the other guys qualifying? And does it look as wild as it does from the seat, or does it look a little crazier from the outside?
It probably looks a little crazier from the outside. I mean, we've all watched the GoPro videos on YouTube and stuff like that, and see what it really feels like. And I mean, when you're watching it on TV or on the screen there. From inside the cockpit, it feels pretty much the same. I mean, other than the fact that you got the force and the G forces and the speed, but it gives you a real perspective of what we're seeing when we drive it.
And I always tell people when they look at those videos, look at the fence post going by. It's my favorite reference to how fast you're going because those things just zing by. What would it mean to you to win this race? I mean, this is probably the closest you're going to race to home all year. To win this race, is this one pretty much at the top or near the top of the list?
Yeah, it's always at the top. I mean, I've been running at Toledo Speedway since, early 90s, and up until, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, that was the first time I'd ever got a win there with a sprint car. And then we were fortunate enough to just have one bad DeVon Super Modified last year and kind of run away with that show last year. So to get a win in each one of those series, it was pretty special, and I think I'm the only one to do that so far. So it was pretty cool. It's always a pleasure to come back to Toledo and try to do it because we always have a huge entourage of people in the stands and sponsors and friends and family, and it's just pretty neat.
Jimmy McCune joining us on the line, and I kind of think about when I first got started in the media aspect of racing. I was a fan up until that point, but I started really getting my hands on the media stuff. I was doing a little work for Neymar's, and I think about guys like you and Westfall, and other drivers. Do you ever think about that? There was quite a talented group of drivers that might not be racing open wheel cars even now. You look at Wayne Chin, some other people that have gone to do other things. But you look at that core group of young guys that kind of started in midgets all at the same time. Do you ever kind of look at that and go, wow, all of us kind of turned out and we're all doing different things, but we're all racing still. And it seems like a lot of these top guys have come on and still have a lot of success.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You hit the nail right on the head, because Neymar's midgets back in that day was some of the best racing there was out there. I mean, to go to one of those shows, you'd show up and there was, you know, 28 to 35 cars at, you know, some of his bigger races. And I mean, there was, you know, 15 midgets that could win the race. And, you know, you get some of the USAC guys to show up. And I mean, it was a pretty good thing to win some of those races.
And one thing is, we had kind of like a racing, I like to call it the racing middle class at one point there, where it wasn't the big jump to a national type series, but you had a regional type series. Do you think that's something we're missing in motorsports today?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, back then that was affordable. You know, we could go run the autograph motors and the Volkswagen and just be extremely competitive and even win majority of the races over, you know, the high dollar inline motors that, you know, USAC was running. So, I mean, it was a pleasure to be able to do that, and it was a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun back then.
So now we're in a period of wing sprint car racing where there's a lot of change going on. We see Haas and AutoValue becoming one entity. We see the Musty Racing entity, and we see a lot of people tending to pick sides on this thing, where you, on the other hand, pretty much are taking the attitude of, we don't really care what's going on. We're just going to go race as much as we can. How much pressure does it take off you not having to play sides on that and just being able to go race?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it doesn't really bother me. I don't really care. I mean, I've basically committed myself to run the Must-See Series since its inception, and, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy everything they brought to the table. But if they're not racing, we're going to go racing somewhere. I mean, it's been that way my whole life. We've really, you know, a number of times we went after championships, never really had any success with it. I think closer we ever got was second. So, you know, I went after wins. You know, I didn't really care about championships. I mean, if we get the wins, the champions will fall. We've never been fortunate to get one of those, so no big deal to me. I just like to go race, and like I said, that's how we bounce around. I mean, there were times we were running Haas, AutoValue, Must-See. I mean, we just kind of go where we want to go and try to have fun.
Jimmy McKeon joining us on the line. And one aspect is, you're kind of in an area that's known a lot for dirt sprint car racing. You have Attica and Fremont right down the road. So after you kind of started winding down the midget thing, how did you end up going pavement sprint car racing instead of maybe going over to Attica and Fremont and doing that?
Well, Dave Grunewald and I have been friends for a long time. And I'd run his car at some USAC races on and off for a few years. And one thing led to another, and we got to talking back and forth on the phone and decided to have me run this car at Anderson Speedway. Well, we got rained out, so I think the next place we went to was Angola, and that's the first time I really got to strap into a wing sprint car. And we unfortunately missed a show. I don't know exactly the whole details of it, but I think it was a crazy night. I think there was like 17 cars in the B main, and we had to run fifth, and we come from dead last all the way up to sixth, and I think we were battling for the transfer position and just missed it. And it was one of those crazy nights, and at that point, I was instantly hooked. I mean, just to feel that downforce and the speed that the sprint car had with a wing on it was just amazing. And then I drove for Benny Rapp right after that. I think it was the following year. It might have been around 02 or 03, and put in a year full-time with him, and then I moved to Dirtball, and we ran for roughly about 5 or 6 years.
And now back with his own team, Jimmy McKeon, joining us on the line. And I remember back in those Neymar days, you were the guy that was being coached. And now the tables have turned, and you're Anthony McKeon, at Spartan Speedway. How did you get involved with getting that program started? And what has it been like to be the coach instead of the guy behind the wheel?
It's different. I mean, I've gone and wrenched a few cars over the years, not very many times. I'd prefer to be much rather be seated in it. But he's been running quarter midgets pretty much all his life. He started when he was 5, and it's just basically been a progression all the way up. And he ran some Kenyan races over the last year and a half that he wasn't in the quarter midget. And we started building the sprint car. It was actually the one I wrecked at the Little 5 here a couple of years ago. And we got that together for him this year, and got him a little pooch motor, an iron motor, and just let him get after it at Spartan for the season. And so far, so good. Other than the motorboat incident we had here a couple weeks ago, he's done a real fine job.
Yeah, of course, we get pictures of that thing, too. of all the people that had to be there that night, Bob had to be in the stands with camera focused right on him when he hit the puddle. And what were you thinking? In case fans don't know, if you look at our Facebook page, there's a picture of Anthony going through a lake in the infield through the X at Spartan Speedway. What are you thinking when he heads towards this huge body of water in the infield?
Yeah, when they refired him going backwards and I seen him go through that or go down the center of the racetrack there, I'm just like, turn, and he kept going straight. So he said the sun was in his eyes and he couldn't see over the dash very well, and you know, one thing leads to another, and now he's got a few new nicknames other than the ones he's already had.
Now, we're big fans of the Spartan program. It's not the best paying thing in the world, but for someone getting starting out or racing at a local level, we're kind of big fans of it. And you've run it quite a bit too. What do you think of the program and the facility up there?
Oh, I've always loved Spartan. I mean, ever since the mid days, we were always extremely fast there. Always had a lot of good luck, won some races. Did that with a sprint car. We came back there and ran for Dennis Crafts for a year and enjoyed that tremendously. And I just wish, like this year, they were getting some better car counts. I mean, the tires are phenomenal. I mean, we run two nights on the whole set of tires that we're on, and we'll probably run another night on the right rear and left front and left rear, and probably flip around the right rear. And I mean, he's been in contention pretty much, you know, week in and week out, you know, so. No complaints. I just wish we get some more guys out there. I know there's a lot of pavement sprint cars sitting out there to come out and race. I mean, to me, it's probably the cheapest racing there is out there right now. I mean, talking 300 start, 1,000 to win. I mean, you can really just get away with buying one tire every couple, two, three nights. So, I mean, once you average out 8-9 races over the year, you average out your tire bill, it's really not that bad.
And they seem to treat us pretty good, too. They're pretty friendly over there. And I try to tell people, that's about as nice of a facility as there is. It's just beautiful when you walk in.
Yeah, I mean, the speeds aren't too high. I mean, you know, if you're gonna have an accident, which, you know, we all know it's going to happen eventually. But, I mean, you're not going extremely fast, so you don't take up, and there's a lot of room there. Other than, you know, turn one, there's a little bit less room. But a lot of room to move around and pass and give each other the courtesy.
And quite a contrast from Toledo, where you'll be this Friday doing 140 miles an hour around the place. Well, Jimmy, it's great to have had you on after all these years. Get to talk to you here on the show. And best of luck at your hometown race. And, man, just keep eating them up, man. We'll probably have you on again if you keep this up.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We're just working hard here in the shop. And thank you. That's what it's all about, man. We really take pride in trying to make sure everything's done and done right here and at home, so we don't have to pull the hood and do anything crazy at the racetrack.
All righty. Jimmy McCune, you can see him this Friday night at the Toledo Speedway, the fastest short track in the world, Auto Value Super Sprints and Super Modifieds on the same program. And I always tell people, if you're a dirt guy, you're going to see one pavement show a year. I give you two suggestions, probably. Little 500, just because it's a bucket list race and you should go see it at least once. And this fastest short track race in the world, even for a dirt guy, it's a lot of fun.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Thanks, Jim, and best of luck this weekend.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. And race fans, don't forget that you can catch the Sprints on Dirt and the National Racing Alliance together right here on racesontheweb.com, the Mike Ulrich Memorial, on July 19th, the midseason championship for both series, free live video and audio of the holiday weekend action from Crystal Motor Speedway. So that big July weekend, do not forget that. July 19th, Sprint Car fans can catch all the action at the Sprints on Dirt, but also you can catch archives of SOD, Michigan Traditional Sprints, and even the weekly racing action right here on racesontheweb.com. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Taylor Ferns. She picked up her first career wing sprint car win over the weekend with the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association. We'll talk to her about why she's transitioned to the wing sprint car from the midget, which seems to be a transition a lot of people are making right now, and where she plans to go with it from here, and see what she's up to fresh off of graduating from high school. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on September 27th is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history with $20,000 on the line for the winner. But you don't have to wait until September to get your Dirt Classic fix. Join the team at this weekend's qualifier race Sunday, June 8th at Bedford Speedway. Fans can see Western and Central Pennsylvania teams unite for a $5,000 paycheck at a guaranteed starting spot in September's event.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. And every week we try to have someone on from our great state of Michigan here. And this young lady just picked up her first winged sprint car win of her career on Friday night with the Ohio Valley Sprint Car Association. And it's been a big, busy couple weeks for her. She just graduated high school. And Taylor Ferns, it's been a whirlwind couple weeks, but looks like everything's kind of going your way. Congratulations on that big first victory.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's go through it. You were at Southern Ohio Speedway on Friday night, and if you're going to win that first one, you might as well do it in style, setting a new track record, and then winning the feature event there on Friday night.
Yeah, that was really, really exciting and really special to me. I remember we went out qualifying, and the track was actually kind of starting to slick off a little bit and was starting to dust off, so I was like, Jimmy Stinson laid down a pretty good lap, so I was like, I don't know if we can top that. And after going around our lap and I pulled off, I was like, I don't know, Kevin. He's like, well, what do you think? And I was like, I'm not really sure. And he's like, well, you just set the track record, so I think we're going to be pretty good tonight. So I was like, I don't really know how you can top that. So after winning the heat race and setting the new track record, I felt like it was just kind of my race to lose. So if we didn't win that night, I was going to be really bummed at myself. But yeah, we pulled it off and finally got that monkey off my back. I hadn't been in victory lane in a while. The past couple of years have been kind of a roller coaster ride for me. So to finally get back in victory lane and to do it in my fifth or sixth winged sprint car race this year, that was really exciting and really special to me.
And a lot of people don't know, you did some winged dirt sprint car racing when you were first starting to get into the full-size cars, and then you went away from it. You did some pavement sprint car racing, some midget racing, and you've also picked up a Silver Crown ride that you also still do. But now you're coming back to the winged sprint car. What brought you back to the winged sprint car, and why did you want to do it?
Winged sprint car, you just don't get a thrill out of anything else like you do racing a winged sprint car. I'm very blessed, and with all the opportunity that I've had going to race some late model stuff and the ARCA stuff and getting to do the Silver Crown stuff. And I have fun with everything. I love, all I want to do is race. So whatever I can hop in and drive on the weekends, I'm very fortunate to do. But you don't get the thrill out of anything else like you do in a winged sprint car. So this has been something that I've been really pressuring my dad to do for a long time. And a lot of people really don't know that I did do about 7 or 8 races when I was 14 in a winged sprint car. And then after that, I decided I wanted to do some stock car stuff. So my dad's like, you have to get rid of something. And so the first thing to go was the winged sprint car. So I'm glad to be back doing it. I love it to death. And this is something that I'm really, really passionate about. I'm passionate about racing in general, but sprint car racing is something that I really hold close to my heart, and I'm glad to be back doing it, and we're on quite the ride right now, and I'm just loving it.
And one other interesting aspect of this is you're doing it with basically the same crew and everybody you had for the midget deal with Kevin Biesecker and everyone working on it. How has their adaptation been to the winged sprint car, and you're all kind of relearning it together?
Yeah, and I think that's the really cool part of it, is we're kind of like all growing together as a team. Kevin's never done anything in he's done some winged sprint car racing himself, but he's never really wrenched on one. So that's kind of something that we all kind of got together and talked about, because Kevin's kind of like a second dad to me. We're really close. And so I didn't want to do it with anybody else besides for him. So to make this kind of step and to do it with him, I think, was something that I really wanted to do. And I know that this is something that he's been wanting to do for a long time. So we kind of had to take that big leap of faith and just kind of trust in each other that it was just going to work out. So, you know, Kevin's been awesome this year so far. And we have Keith Hozapple, who Kevin and Keith kind of go off each other and rely off each other a lot. So Keith has been a huge help to us this year, too. But we're just kind of growing as a team, and we're learning together as a team, and we're making mistakes together as a team. So it's just been really fun this year, and we've had our ups and our downs in the few races that we've had so far, but to finally get that win on Friday, I think, kind of gave us a big boost in our confidence.
And you mentioned the highs and the lows. You went from winning on Friday to Saturday, made us, you know, got in an incident on Saturday right through hot laps. Talk to me about that as a driver. When you're coming off the high on Friday night, what was it like to have something like that happen on Saturday and then bounce back?
Yeah, well, I think I just, I didn't really let it all get to my head, but I just kind of felt like, in the winged sprint cars, you just kind of, most of the time, you're just kind of like hauling the mail, flat-footed around, but what you kind of forget about is when the track kind of starts to slicken off, you kind of have to get off the throttle a little bit, and so I came through 3 and 4 and drove 3 and 4 perfectly, and my dad was actually saying to me yesterday that the guys that were sitting behind him were like, oh, there she goes again, she's gonna get another track record, but I think just the way that I came off turns 4 and I entered turns 1, I think I just, I mean, it's just my mistake, I just kind of misjudged the cushion because there really wasn't anything on the bottom, and I just kind of came in a little too hot, and the cushion just wasn't going to hold me, and I just kind of jumped it a little, and the wall just kind of sucked me up, and kind of gave it a little smack there, but, I mean, it's definitely my fault, and as a driver, that's kind of downgrades your confidence a little bit, but my crew has all the faith in the world in me, and I know I can do it and rebound and come back from that. So we ended up starting 13th in the feature, and it was just dry slick, follow the duck on the bottom, and I actually got a really good start and passed a bunch of guys on the start, and I don't think if I didn't do that, I probably wouldn't have gotten made as much passes or made up as much ground as I did. But we ended up 7th, which I feel like under the circumstances and the way the track was and everything like that, like, we were actually kind of satisfied to come home with 7th for how the day was going like that. But, you know, it's hard to come back from things like that, especially when it drops your confidence to an all-time low. But I know that after what happened on Friday and things like that, that kind of boosted my confidence. And I know that if we can win a race and have a great day like that, then we can do it again. So I think those are just kind of the things that you have to reflect on and just remember and keep in mind.
The ever-developing education of a winged sprint car racer here, Taylor Ferns, joining us on the line. It seems like your winged sprint car schedule's been a little fluid at this point. At first, it looked like it was going to be pretty much primarily in Southern Ohio. Now I see Bloomington sneaking on there. We're seeing you've made trips to Attica. You've made a few trips to other places. What is the plan with you with the winged sprint car? Is there a roadmap? Or are you guys just kind of taking it week to week and kind of deciding what you want to do with it?
Yeah, right now we're just kind of having fun with it, learning different tracks and picking kind of what tracks that we like and that we've kind of grown fond of and we want to go back to. So we're really just kind of taking it week by week. I mean, we have a schedule all laid out and mapped out, but it feels like lately we haven't really been going by it. But that's the cool thing about winged sprint car racing. There's so much races going on the weekend that you can just wake up in the morning and decide, oh, you know, I want to go here, and then end up skipping that other track that you had on the schedule and go to a different track. So we're just kind of having fun with it and just kind of going wherever we feel like we want to go or know that we can maybe have a good run and have a shot to take home the checkers. So I don't know. We're just having fun with it right now. And I know the next winged sprint car race that we have on the schedule is at Bloomington, but we were actually talking, me and Kevin were talking about going to Attica maybe, because I feel like I have a little bit of revenge on that track after what happened a couple weeks ago. So I don't know, maybe we'll give that a shot, but it just all comes down whatever we wake up in the morning and feel like doing, really.
That's pretty awesome. Taylor Ferns, if you notice the benefits of the winged sprint car paying off and some of the other things you're doing, especially in the Silver Crown car?
Yeah, I really have. I feel like it's really helped me. A lot of people thought, oh, you know, going to winged sprint car racing, it's going to ruin her going and then jumping into something else. But I feel like it's helped me more than anything. A week after I raced the winged sprint car, I actually ended up racing the Pavement Silver Crown car at Lucas Oil Raceway. And I qualified the best I've ever qualified there in a crown car. And I just kind of picked up right where I left off and qualified 6th. And so that's where we started in the feature. My car was just super tight, and under the cautions, I was making as many adjustments as I could on the car, and it just wasn't really helping, so we ended up finishing 11th, but I don't feel like me racing the winged sprint car has had anything to do with what happened in the race that day. I felt like it's helped me more than anything, because it just kind of, it's helped me gotten used to the speed a lot easier and things like that, so I don't feel like it's hindered my driving ability at all. I feel like it's actually helped me and kind of propelled me forwards, and Silver Crown crew was kind of joking around with me. They're like, you know, you do have to lift in these cars now. And I was like, kind of just messing around. I was like, oh, shoot, thanks for reminding me. I kind of forgot. I was just planning on flat-footing it, but that probably would not have been a good night if I did that. But I feel like doing the wing stuff and jumping all around in different cars, I'm just kind of used to doing that, going from a midget to a crown car to an arc car. I felt like I did that a lot last year, so I'm just kind of used to it.
And now you're a high school graduate. So your day-to-day school duties are over, and now you can pretty much focus on the racing thing. And how has that transition been? Because for basically the majority of your life, basically 8 to 3 plus sports and everything else has been tying your attention with racing. And now you get to focus on this. And how has that been so far?
I feel like it's been great. I mean, less than a week after I graduated high school, I mean, I come home with my first wing sprint car win. So I feel like that kind of shows you how my focus and stuff has transitioned. When I'm in school, I've been doing it since I was in second grade, going back and forth from racing in school. And I'm used to missing 60 days of school, normally a year. And so a lot of that was really hard on me throughout high school, missing that much in school and be able to keep all the focus on racing and then going back and getting my focus back into school mode. So I think that's something that kind of been really hard on me throughout high school. So now that I'm kind of done with it and I can just kind of focus on racing, that's something that I've been wanting to do for a while. So I have a pretty long summer to focus on just racing, and because racing's all I really want to do. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it work out. But I'm going to be starting college late in the fall, and we'll see how that goes. But I just want to race. That's all I really want to do. It's my number one passion in life. So if I can make that work, then that's what I'm going to do.
Well, it's been fun to watch you kind of grow up. It's kind of been funny from the Spartan days when you're first getting your feet wet and the midget, now doing this, and a high school graduate. It's actually making me feel old a little bit. It's all right.
It makes me feel old. I mean, you talk about racing at Spartan. That was 4 years ago, and I just kind of reflect on that, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I feel old, but I'm only 18. I have so much more of life to live.
Yeah, well, you do appreciate it at least. And Taylor, congratulations on the win, and look forward to hopefully talking to you after more wins later on in the season.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Taylor Ferns joining us again on the line, and I bet if we pulled up that first interview, that one is light years better than the first one. She's a very personable young lady from right here in the Detroit area, and great family, too. We always have fun with them, and it was neat to see her pick up her first wing sprint car win last weekend. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Welcome back to Teaching Racing Radio. The first annual Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kane on September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, which we were $20,000 on Saturday,
but you and OH also.
You don't have to wait until September to get your Dirt Classic.
They're trying.
Join the team at this weekend's qualifier race Sunday, June 8th at Bedford Speedway. Fans can see Western and Central Pennsylvania teams unite for a $5,000 paycheck and a guaranteed starting spot in September's event.
Painted items, little things. But sometimes the little things make a big difference. And when you walk in that place, it's a really nice facility when you walk in. I mean, it's got a good first impression when you walk in. Are there still a lot of things that need to be done? Absolutely. Do the local sprint cars need to be taken care of a bit better, maybe with a point fund or a little bit more money in the purse? Absolutely. Does the race surface need more work? Absolutely it does. But considering they don't really have much in the line of equipment there to take care of it, I thought it actually, I mean, they literally have a disc, a grader, a water truck, and a sheep's foot. I didn't really see anything much more than that on the grounds. And considering that, I mean, it was relatively smooth for Butler. It wasn't horribly rough. It had a nice cushion on it, almost to a fault because the top was so good, you really couldn't roll the bottom. And I've seen it far worse, trust me. And they put new light fixtures up, and the lighting is 100 times better. I mean, is it television quality Musco lighting? No. Is it 100 times better for Butler? Absolutely. And Rome wasn't built in a day. And Bob Garrett and Dave Donaldson are really trying to uplift the facility there, and it's an uphill battle. And I really hope they can pull it off, because we need, in the big picture, we need a healthy Butler Motor Speedway here in the Great Lakes State to be able to have a good sprint car scene. All three of the dirt sprint car entities right now, when you talk about MTS, Sod, and Butler, we need those three things healthy. And the pavement sprint car side is still pretty healthy. It's a little fragmented, but there's still cars there, and it's healthy. Same with the dirt side of things. But the Butler side has been lacking a little bit and starting to show, because a lot of guys get their start there. Same with the Spartan deal. I think the Spartan deal needs a little uplift too, from the teams. But the thing is with Spartan is they're offering a first class facility, and a great place to get started, and a tire that's working. That part of it, I can't really explain, but the Butler part of it, I mean, I hope they can get it back to even where it was maybe 5-6 years ago, because if they can get it that far, I think the other part, getting it up a little bit more than that,
is going to be good. It'll be a lot easier to do that second part, which is kind of backwards. Usually that's the harder part. But I think if they can get this part overcome, I think there's a lot of potential there. And I think we showed that there are sprint car fans in that area. That place was packed on Saturday night. And if you look, they're trying to uplift the sprint car programs there. They've booked two all-star shows there this year. They have two SOD shows. They're trying to bring in shows that people want to see. And I hope it translates to the weekly program coming around too, because that, like I said, that needs to be healthy. But the All-Star show, I think, went off great. Now they're talking about doing 2 days in August. They announced they're going to do it at the program, but I always joke is, let's let the dust settle, no pun intended, and, kind of see when the official announcement comes up. But, indications now is that's going to be upgraded to a 2-day show the week after the Knoxville Nationals. So something to keep in mind there. And, that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Keep an eye out for maybe the random podcast here and there over the next week or so. Until then, we'll talk to you again next Monday night at 8:00 p.m. Eastern. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways.